So thank you for coming to this Chavura once again. So in the last couple of weeks, we've been discussing the relationship between different aspects in Yadus, in Avodas Hashem. You have Tamatora versus Maisa, we have Guf versus Neshama. And I figured, when we've been discussing it more from a theoretical perspective, we've gone through two Ma'amarim on these topics. But today, I would like to go through something which was a sifa. I think it's printed in the Kutei Sifos Chelek Aleph. It's one of from the first year, but the first year is in Yiddish. It's a visit from Taurus Menachem, which is not edited, but it's the same speech about this week's parasha. The Rebbe really takes these ideas that we've been discussing, explains them or says them out in a much clearer fashion, much more down-to-earth fashion, and has practical ramifications for Avodas Hashem of Bnei HaYeshiva, apparently the yeshiva which existed in Crown Heights. So we'll start with the beginning. Oskas, because there was a break in the speech, and Oskas starts a new topic. So he goes as follows. Al Pasuk, Patama Sara B'kiras Abba Hichevron, Le'evon Arpa Mespil Nesarav Lev Kosa. Shabbat Shavua, right? This was given during the week of Shabbos Parshas Chayisara. So Isa Bazar, Zara says Shesara Romeis al Guf, Avram Romeis al Neshama. Sara hints to the Guf, and Avram refers to the Neshama. Pratiyos Yosir, in more detail, the Zara says, Tama Sara Zeaguf. Tama Sara, the body dies. Bekiras Arba Ilu Arba Yisodos. The four yisodos that comprise the physical world, hi chavron shayu mechubarim begufo b'chayav. The four yisodos are connected with the guf during the lifetime. V'yavo Avraham zu haneshama l'spol d'sara z'haguf. So you have a guf, the guf dies, the neshama comes to mourn the guf. K'mavur Hashem shegam la'achrei hamisa yishadayin hiskashros haneshama im haguf. Great. The purpose of this line in the Zohar is to teach us that even after misa, the neshama and the guf still have a relationship, and the neshama still hovers around where the guf was. Great. Perishta. So this explanation of the Zohar, Shazar Romeis al guf, Avram al neshama, Sarach liyos matim muchuvan ois gehalten b'chol tarakula. So the Rebbe is asserting that when the Zohar says Sarah refers to the guf, Avram refers to the neshama, this has to be true b'chol tarakula wherever Avram and Sarah appear. The Chorin Sarach Lavin. Inkis parish of Fizem, Mashanemar, the Avraham, Sharomez on Hashemah, call Asher Tomar, Idacha Sarah, Sharomez on a Gop, Shema Bekula. We have a clear pasuk saying, Avraham, listen to your wife, listen to Sarah, Sarah referring to the Gop, Avraham being in Hashemah. Now, apparently, according to this interpretation of the Zohar, the Hashemah is supposed to be listening to the Gop. What does that mean? Ostes. V'yuvin, Bahakdim Tarasa Baal Shemto, Payadua, Ala Pasuk. Ki Sarah Kamarso Naaka, V'gomer. There's a well-known Torah from the Baal Shem Tov about the pasuk. If you see the ox of your friend rovetz tachas maso, you should certainly help him out. And this is referring to avodas Hashem with one's body, and he's going to quote the Torah from the Baal Shem Tov, how the Baal Shem Tov explained each phrase in the pasuk. Ki sirach chamor. What does that mean? When you see a donkey, kasher distankel be'ian tov b'hachomer shalcha shu aguf. When you look at your material being, your body, chamor is the same letters as chomer, materialism. Tireh, you're going to see sona akha, you're going to see your enemy. Shu sonei es haneshama, humiskagaz melokos v'ruchnios. When you first look, you referring to neshama, first look at your physical body, you're going to see an entity that hates the neshama. Shekein, v'haskalas chayi adam, v'haskalas avoda, sonim haguf haneshama zedzeh. They hate each other. Rovetz tachas masa'o. Again, this body, this chomer, this chamor, is being crushed underneath its burden. Masa, the burden, kayang al ha'torah u'mitzvos. The burden is crushing the body. Masa zehu masa'o, masa shelo shel guf. Masa'o means the guf's burden, Torah mitzvos, are crushing it. Shelchein ninua mitzvos neshamos beguf and tafka. Again, the Torah is referred to the body's burden, not as the burden of the neshama. Why? Because Torah mitzvos are targeting the guf. Kivan shakovana hi b'shvilo zakei kas haguf. Because the whole purpose of Torah is to purify the body. Yafal pikein hariza nekshav etzlo lemasa. Beino chavitz bekach. Hashem gave us a Torah in order to purify the body, but the body at first doesn't realize it. It doesn't want it. It's ruvich takas masa. Oh, it's being crushed. The Alpha Pikain, Harita Neshav Asulamasa, Vino Kafitz Bakah, Vimila, Karehu Rovitz Akas Maso. So, what should your you, meaning the neshamas, reaction be to this body that has a burden of Torah mitzvot that doesn't want that burden? Since the body is antithetical to Torah mitzvot, it doesn't want it, therefore, abandon the body, only deal with avodos that are applicable to neshama. The guf is your enemy. It has a masa, it has Torah, it has mitzvot it's supposed to do. It doesn't want to do them, so you should ignore it. You should negate it. You should be mevatel it. You should fast. Afflict yourself. Baal Shem Tov says, "Alzeh nemar azov ta azovimo." You have to help it out. Kivush and tsrikin levar osakik as a guf dafka. You can't ignore and negate your body, whose entire purpose is to take that body, which starts off as an enemy, and to purify it. The Rebbe takes this one level further. No safakak shemitzvos ni nugan neshamos begufim. The mitzvos were given to neshamos inside bodies. Harigama mitzvos atzmam nislabshu devarim gashmiim dafka. It's not just that the subject of the thing that's supposed to fulfill Torah mitzvos is a neshama in a body, but mitzvos themselves involve physical items. Kan mugash benogia lemaisa guf hamitzvah v'kavanos neshamos hamitzvah. Because you have two parts of every mitzvah: the physical action using your body, and then you have the kana that's supposed to be involved with it. So ikar hu ma'isa hagashmi shel mitzvah. Which part is ma'akev the mitzvah? Which part is the main part of the mitzvah? The physical action. For the chayin, afilu yachavin yakol kavana shem mitzvah tefillin v'lo yin yach tefillin b'falam lo kiyam mitzvah tefillin. Right? If you have all the supernal kavanos, all the kabbalistic kavanos of mitzvah tefillin, but you don't actually put the tefillin on your mitzvah. Well, the idach im niyach tefillin b'falav lo kiyam as kavanos. If you put on tefillin physically, but you didn't have all these kavanos. Because you're not having these spiritual kavanos for whatever reason, you're going to get punished for the lack of kavana. Again, it's a chisaron in the mitzvah. Tanya spends a couple of prakim going through what happens to a mitzvah that's done without any kavana whatsoever. It basically just hangs there around this world. It doesn't have the ability to fly up. He quotes a line in the Zohar a couple of times that the avan yirat Hashem are referred to as wings on the body of a bird. Right, so the body of the bird is the guf mitzvah, but in order for that guf to be able to fly up, it needs the wings, which are the avan yira, which are the kavana. So if you do a mitzvah without kavana, it's not so good. But mikomakom, it's a mitzvah atzma kiyim, but you still were makayin the mitzvah halakhically. For example, he's going to say bris mila. I think I must have skipped a line when I copied those over. There was a story, he says, bris mila itzo echa minichtei tzamak tzedek. It was a grandson of the tzamak tzedek who needed a bris mila. And tzvikim livkor bein shnei ma'olim. There were two ma'olim there to choose from. Ha'achad ha'yem evugar ba'al yidiya b'kasvei ariza. One of them was an older gentleman who was a makabal. Mekulam o lo b'kulam avos inyana m'shayka l'mila yada. He knew the kavanos about mila. Ta'ashini ha'yatzayar, he was a young guy. B'mukha b'umnas ha'mila. He knew the practical things necessary for mila 100%. A much simpler fellow who didn't know the results kavanos about mitzvahs mila. Tzemach tzedek said, "Take the younger person." But Amro, not just because he's younger, he's better at the physical ma'isa. Even not just because on a practical level, you want somebody who's a mumcha and the umdos and mila to do it. But because on an ideological level, on a value level, the ikar of the mitzvah is the physical action. So get somebody who could do the physical action in a better way. Florak mitzvahs ma'isios, and not just mitzvahs that involve actions, the guf ha-mitzvah, the ma'isa, is the main part. Gam mitzvah shein chovas olavos, even emotional mitzvahs. Kamo avas Hashem v'yiras Hashem, o chovas ha-moach. Kamo mitzvahs ha-muna ha-yichud. Even things that seem to have nothing to do with the physical body, with physical actions, the ultimate purpose of doing these mitzvahs is that you're supposed to physically, viscerally feel these things on your body. Again, he's saying all mitzvahs, even mitzvahs that seem to only relate to the emotional or the cognitive or the intellectual world, still they're supposed to be felt on your physical body. Again, if you look in Tanya, if I recall correctly, somewhere around Parak Mem, he also discusses the mitzvah of Avas and Yiras Hashem. And what it says in Tanya is that the mitzvah of Avas and Yiras Hashem aren't in a vacuum. The mitzvah of Avas Hashem, he says predominantly, is to do mitzvos be'ofen de'ava, or do mitzvos be'ofen de'ira. So even these emotional mitzvos are still connected with a physical action. The Rebbe here is going one step further. It's not just that when you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do it be'ofen da'ava, and that is the main mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, but then even the emotion of Ahavas Hashem by itself, without connection to a ma'isa, is supposed to be felt viscerally on the body. And he tells a story. Misera Miza. Kashem Shivagashim Yos Shemua Tova Tadashin Atzem. And the pasuk says, if you hear something good, it's going to expand your bones, like the story we know with Asbastianos and Yochanan ben Zakkai, from Super B'Gemara, Sheshmias B'Sora Tova Garma Shinu B'Gash Me'Sagof, hearing something good physically changes the body. Kaktar Kliyos Gan Ba'Afas Hashem. Shehirgish Kirvaz Elokim Litov, Sarah Kliyos Nikar Gan B'Sahar Gof. You look at the person, he's a different hadras upon him. He looks different because of this emotion about Ba'Afas Hashem. Kain B'Yiras Hashem. You're contracting in your emotional or intellectual worlds. The idea of hadras panim, of looking different because of these emotions, becomes very, very important. We can bring stories about this from the previous rabbis. They showed us everything. A story about the Alter Rebbe. He rolled on the floor and was only able to get out the first syllable of the word pach. Again, you're able to look at him and viscerally see the yiras Hashem throughout his entire body. Again, the ultimate key of Abbas and Yiras Hashem is that it should affect your physical body as well. So now we know all mitzvos are connected with your physical body. Again, you see he's taking the idea of the Baal Shem Tov much further. Baal Shem Tov just says it's the guf that's supposed to be Mekayim mitzvos. You shouldn't ignore the guf, shouldn't go through tanyos v'sigufim. You have to help the guf. The Rebbe is taking it much further and saying the guf is the ikar. Guf ha'maisa mitzvah, even emotional, cognitive, intellectual mitzvos, the ikar is that it should be seen and felt on your body. Now we get back to our pasuk. Al pisan yesh levayar, masha kasav, kolan shar tomar ilaka sara shema bekula. The fi apirish hazoar, shesara romez ala guf, ikar gavanin ala guf. Ela, sheakshav hareza behelem, ula asit tiskala malas a guf, anakinikak shanashamat tiyan izonas min a guf. So what does it mean that Avram should always be listening to Sarah, the neshama should always be listening to the guf? It's the idea that we spoke about last week, that l'asad lavo, the relationship between mekabel and mashpia, that b'zman hazeh, the neshama is the mashpia and the guf is mekabel, it's going to be reversed. The guf is going to take the dominant role, it's going to be mashpia on the neshama. And therefore, Avraham, the neshama, should always be listening to Sarah, the guf. So granted, we don't feel that nowadays, but the Avos were on such a high level that they had a tam of Olam Haba. They were able to sense how kadosh, how ultimately, paradoxically, the higher level of the guf in relation to the neshama. To always listen to the guf. Great. So this is part one of the Dvar Torah, of the Sikha, that when, again, a line in the Zohar, Sarah is the guf, Avram is neshama, the Rebbe is extending that to every time Avram and Sarah are mentioned. Therefore, Avram, the neshama, has to listen to Sarah, the guf, because the entire tachlis is to do avodos with our guf, and ultimately we're going to realize, l'asad lavo, something that avos had a tama, that the guf ends up being more connected to the Atzma, so to speak. It doesn't use those words here, but that's what we've seen elsewhere, than the Neshama actually is. Yeah.
So that doesn't still per se explain Shema B'Kola, meaning the Guf still doesn't necessarily want that.
So
even if the Iker is the Guf's Pula, it's...
No, Shema
B'Kola,
the
Guf
is
listening
to the
Guf. Right, yeah.
So, for the Avos...
doesn't want to do these things, meaning the Neshama still wants control, meaning the Guf still wants Gashmius, not Mitzvos, not...
I think that's why he threw in that line. Kevin Shavos Sitima Kadosh Baruch Hu Balmazem, you know, Meina Lamaba. I mean, the Avos were Mekabel Lashkina, and therefore they were able to tap into some of the levels that are only going to exist, only be revealed L'Asad Lavo. So this is not a directive for everybody, but what's a directive for everybody is what the Baal Shem Tov says, what the Rebbe said first, that we should be focusing on our Guf and Avodas Hashem. for Avraham and his level, and we should know as the level, the roles are going to be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now the Rebbe takes this one step further. Yud Beis. Hamar le'el, she'ikar kavana hiva guf. Again, not just the ikar entity that has to do avodas Hashem is the guf. Ikar hakavana of the entire bria ends up being the guf, more than the neshama. Take a mashal, again a mashal from the regular world, about being enlisted in an army. You're going to be enlisted in an army based on your physical situation, and the situation of your body. Without caring too much about how your neshama is, how you're doing psychologically, emotionally, or intellectually, or spiritually. Except if it actually affects your physical capabilities. Again, if your nefesh is so affecting you that you basically become a shota, you're acting physically in a way that's very, very detrimental to yourself and to others. If you're not at the level of a shota and your guf is healthy, then they take him to the army, no matter what his neshama is doing. That the situation of the neshama, if you're high, low, spiritually this, spiritually that, and feeling this, feeling that, doesn't matter, they're going to take you to the army. Those people who have higher neshamos, people who are more spiritually oriented, it's going to be a chisaron in the army. There's a line in the Zohar that says the strength of the neshama ends up being a weakness for the body. So we see that for a regular human army, they don't care about the matzav of your neshama, they care about the matzav of your guf. So why is that so? So why do we find in this world, in this physical world, that armies, generals care about the physical situation of their potential soldiers? Was that true about the spiritual army, the army of Hashem? Because in Hashem's army as well, again, we're talking about inherent values. In Hashem's army as well, but the Ikar is also the Guf. And therefore that spills over into the way our world functions, that the Ikar is going to be the Guf in terms of an army. Why does Hashem care more about the Guf in his army? Because Maiso Ikar, mitzvahs befoa, are the most important thing. You're part of the army if you're doing mitzvahs physically. You're not part of the army if you're thinking supernal karbanos, but you're not actually doing mitzvahs physically. So then the Rebbe just adds on one caveat. Just have to make sure that your neshama isn't messing up your guf to the level that you end up acting like a shota. If you fail your psychological exam too much, they're not going to take you into the army. Like, what's an example of a shota? Somebody who sleeps in a cemetery. So what does that mean? What's the deeper meaning behind that? That during the day you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. What does that mean? That during the day, when you're awake, you're doing Torah mitzvos. But when your neshama separates from your guf at night, then you sort of abandon your body. I mean, you have to always be paying attention to the state of your body. Another example where somebody's neshama affects his guf to a degree that he's no longer a viable soldier for Hashem's army. Somebody who loses everything, destroys everything that they give him. That's another thing in the Gemara and Chagiga. So the Rebbe is reading that in a Hasidish way. Ma means the bechina of ma, which is kolak ma. Right? That's the way chachma is interpreted as well. Ma means what? The fact that you basically are nothing. You have to be tapped into your neshama enough to know that you're supposed to be doing your physical avodas Hashem, but there are kabbalos all, as we discussed last week. So as long as you're tapped into your neshama enough to know that you're supposed to be doing the mitzvahs, but there are kabbalos all, and also you're tapped into your neshama enough to know that you should never have your neshama fully abandon your body, then you're a viable soldier for Hashem's army. But if you're, as long as you're basically, your neshama is in a good situation, an okay situation, not in a shotetik situation, and your guf is there, then you're part of Tzivos Hashem. Then you take, the Rebbe extracts a lesson for Avodas Hashem out of this whole construct.
Those are two extremes?
Well, I think it's just two different ways in which you're,
focused and not at all focused on the neshama.
Well, the second one is, I don't know if it's being focused or not focused on your neshama, but it sounds like the neshama gives you the ability to tap into the Bechinas Ma, tap into the Koach HaBitul, to say that really I'm just a Chelak HaLakam Mimal. But I guess it's the guf that seems like it's distinct. So if you're not tapping into that aspect of your neshama, so then your guf is not going to be a good enough guf to be in Tzivos Hashem. But again, without any of these major problems, we don't care about the matzav of your neshama, we care about the matzav of your guf. So then Rebbe extracts a real life lesson for Avodas Hashem out of this whole construct. This idea, you would think it's only for people who are out there working, doing mitzvah maisios, but it applies to people who are learning Torah as well. Yeshem talmidim shemachapsim uvaim levakish etzos. Then the Rebbe says, or some talmidim are coming and asking me for etzos. K'dei shiyalahem cheshek b'limat Torah. They want to have a cheshek, a desire, a brand to learn. Hora alzem misider halakichol tzva begashmius. And the hora about this is to, again, take the mashal of a regular human army. When the general comes to enlist you, they don't ask you, do you really want to come to the army? You're going to stay home until you have a cheshek, and then you're going to go to the army. It doesn't matter if you have a cheshek at all, they're going to enlist you in the army. So too over here. First things first, it doesn't matter if you have a cheshek to learn, you are enlisted in the army, you have to do the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Again, your desire, your ratzon, your emotions are connected with the neshama. That matters less. First things first, you always have to do what's commanded of you. You are in the army. You have to do the physical actions commanded of you. In this case, it's Talmud Torah. Point number two, in the hierarchy of things, there's a maila, is an advantage, something superior about learning mitoch kabbalas all, it's even higher than learning mitoch cheshek. And he tells us, then he tells another story. Yudua sipor, shachar chasitim, niknas v'tzemak tzedek, v'sonin alkach, she'in lo cheshek lamod. Again, a similar situation. A Talmud entered the study of the tzemak tzedek and started complaining that he doesn't have a cheshek to learn. V'yishig lo tzemak tzedek, im kein, she'in lo cheshek, tov adavar. What can I do? I actually have a cheshek to learn. But you don't have a cheshek, that's a bracha. So what's the pshat in this type of idea? Again, if you don't have a cheshek, then you're gonna have amo v'yegiya b'torah. Even again, I'm not so familiar with what it says there in Hemshach Tafir Shalom Ekvav, but apparently learning Torah out of Yigiyah and Amal is a higher level than learning Torah out of Cheshek. And based on the system the Rebbe is putting it in, is that learning Torah out of Kabbalah Sol is connected with being in an army, connected with just doing the Ma'aseh Mitzvah because that's what God commanded you to do. And that's connected with the idea that the Ma'aseh are the most important part of Mitzvah, and that's connected with the idea that the Guf is the object that's supposed to be affected and by the mitzvahs and supposed to do all the mitzvahs. And why is all this true? Because of the paradoxical system the Rebbe had, where all the lower things are more connected with the atzmas, more connected with the higher levels of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, l'chein tzarech l'smach akach, she'in l'cheshek l'mod. Therefore, you should be happy you don't have a cheshek to learn. Kivin shemavatzav kaza yitzarech l'siyagia yosef l'imad ha-Torah, b'toka ba'azol. You can reach these higher levels through learning through Yegiyah and Anamilos without the Cheshek. If you actually want and you actually get the Cheshek to learn, you inculcate that in yourself, then you're being mevater on an amazing, amazing possibility, amazing potential. Shenafel b'chalko, who zaka l'kach she'in lo chishach v'in arot zolomod. He was zaka to be one of these people who doesn't want to learn, but still feels that it's important. V'mila yish b'epshiruso l'umot Torah kabalos ov yagia. V'lutzkos nefkinas eiden. Now, if a pi came mevatar al gan eiden, so this Talmud, once lo chishach, has been mevatar on these higher levels. Eiden achol, and yonim, t'murah se mevake she'in lo chishach l'mod. He's been mevatar on all these higher levels. Why? Because he wants to have a chishach to learn. So it's a pretty interesting response, pretty, I would say, even a harsh response. But the last paragraph softens it a little bit. He says, he knows practically it's hard to learn if you don't have a cheshek to learn. He says, kasher mevakesh cheshek lomod, you need to know mash mevakesh. Again, somebody wants to learn. He wants to have a cheshek to learn. He feels like he's not going to be able to learn without the cheshek. He davens for a cheshek to learn. Hashem will give it to him. Kedesh b'kiyah kadesh baruch hu tov ha-meitav. V'nosin l'chol echad echad l'fir tzano v'tavasa. Hashem gives to each person based on what that person wants. Hashem gives you bracha based on what you want. Again, the ikar is that you have to just be learning. So the way to get there is through a cheshek. It might be a b'di'evit type of way, but you're still, in the end of the day, learning more. So you want a cheshek to learn, you're davening a cheshek to learn, Hashem is going to give you the cheshek to learn. And therefore you're learning more. But, there's a caveat. And eventually, at some point, you're going to lose the notion of the Yagiyah Metal Kabbalah. So all those you stone in, and then you're going to be sad, and you're going to complain. And then eventually, he doesn't say it in this sikha, but I assume eventually, if you learn from long enough, and you're ma'ayin in the yonim long enough, even if you have a cheshek to learn, you're still going to be able to reach the highest level, which we discussed, I think, 2 weeks ago, where the ben and the eved become unified when there's achdos and yichud with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then the cheshek and the betel become two sides of the same coin instead of being steerers to each other. But you see that just the way the ideas that we discussed in the last couple of weeks in the more theoretical ma'amarim here end up being a nice word in the parsha. And number two, being an extension of certain Hasidic ideas that have always been there, taking them to their logical extreme. And number three, giving you practical etzos, then bringing them down really the maisa. Meaning, the whole point is bringing down the maisa, is bringing down these theoretical ideas really the maisa, and giving his talmidim practical etzos for Avodas Hashem based on all of these ideas, which we discussed in the previous weeks. Thank you.